We're in Recife, which is a Brazilian city of about 3 million people, with one of the highest murder rates in the world.
4,500 people were killed in this state last year. Many of the killings are at the hands of death squads. Among their ranks are serving police officers. They claim they're doing a service by killing criminals and street kids known in the city as the Killables.
He personally knows of 600 of these kids who have been killed.
We arrived in Recife and were taken straight to the scene of the latest violent crime.
Hello, my Elisa.
The man here is saying, oh, my brother, somebody must have seen something, somebody must have seen something.
Romaro was 18. Police say he was killed with a single shot at close range to the head. It had the hallmarks of an execution.
What are the chances of the people who did this being caught, being found?
The detective said it's almost impossible for the police to investigate crimes like this because people refuse to give them information.
Nobody saw the car, nobody saw the gunman, nobody saw what happened, nobody saw anything. So it's very unlikely that anybody would be brought to justice for this killing.
Police say witnesses are too afraid of retribution. They call it the law of silence. Suddenly, the dead boy's father arrived.
Father is getting very upset. What he's saying is the police, they did see who killed my son. They do know who killed my son. Where were the police? Where were the police?
Police tried to restrain the man as he wept over his dead son. Boasting some of Brazil's best beaches and year-round sun, Recife draws 1 million tourists a year. Direct flights bring a growing number from Europe. But behind this narrow strip of wealth lies another Recife.
You very quickly discover that Recife is a divided city, and once you cross this bridge, you leave the rich coastal strip behind and enter another world, into the old city centre and the favelas that sprawl behind it.
Two-thirds of the city's people live in the slums that stretch out from the modern high-rise centre. Racked by poverty, drug abuse and murder, you don't film in them without someone's permission. I arranged to meet Demetrius Demetrio. He's a social worker working with some of the city's 4,000 street kids from the slums.
Demetrius is saying to us that he's about to take us into an unknown world, a hidden world and a violent world where anything can happen. There are murders here and it's very dangerous. We have to keep our wits about us.
Demetrius told us he's worked with kids on these streets for 20 years and that's why people here trust him.
Okay, as we're walking up here, there's just kids laying on the steps and obviously some of them sniffing glue.
Demetrius told us some of the children here are as young as 10.
So Demetrius, just tell me what's happening here.
Aqui é quarto onde eles dormem.
This is where they're sleeping.
The children have left behind violent and dysfunctional homes. I asked them what risks they face here.
The main danger is what is getting what they call a death sentence, and he says the police come here and kill them because they're using drugs.
So this guy is saying that one of the dangers they face is that people turn up and actually burn them. You can be burnt alive here.
Okay. Did you see them?
Among the group, I met Vanya, who told me she's witnessed murder at close range.
Vanya says she's 21 years old and she's been widowed twice. In both cases, she says the police killed her husbands because they were thieves. tragic, obviously, what's happening here. Just loads of kids using drugs, very violent among themselves. They say they're at risk from being beaten up, from being burnt, being killed by the police. And it's right in the middle of the city. It's quite open.
Demetrius told me these street kids are targeted by what he called death squads.
These death squads that he's talking about are often made up of civil police officers, either former or still serving police officers here in the city, who believe they've got to clean up what they see as a social problem here by killing these kids, by killing the people on the street.
He told me he knew of 600 street children who had been murdered.
He estimates that 60% of those children have been killed by police death squads.
Demetrius runs programs that aim to help these kids. They told me he's the only person trying to get them off glue and off the streets before it's too late. We travelled across town to see what drives the kids onto the streets.
So we've come to meet Vanya, who we met on the streets the other night, to see her home, where she lives, and why she's on the streets as much as she is. She's introduced us here to her mother, who's just behind us here.
This is the room Vanya shared with her mother, two children and eight relatives.
How do you make any money, Vanya? Vanya's saying, I won't lie to you, when I'm in the city, I work as a prostitute. I get £10 per go. And is that enough to keep you going and to look after your children?
No.
Not enough.
Vanya said many people from the slums don't get work because of where they live.
Vanya's saying that a lot of young men here have no way of making money. They get hungry and so they rob. And when they rob, the police don't like that. And the police death squads are the ones that are coming around in the early hours of the morning and taking these guys away to Woodlands where they're killed. Hello.
We wanted to know how the police responded to claims that petty street and drug crimes were being dealt with by the harsh methods of death squads. Walsir Martins is the Homicide Unit's chief detective. The detective said he believes death squads are responsible for at least a third of the city's murders.
There can be sometimes some police officers, maybe former police officers, who are in these death squads, and eventually it might be hard for them to kill the first time, but then they get used to it, and then it becomes an avalanche, and they have no human feeling left.
But he insisted that many police officers wanted nothing to do with the death squads, and in fact, protected those at risk from them.
The police have just told us that, in fact, the guy inside here is a young guy who's been fleeing from one of the death squads called the Thundercats.
Too scared to show his face, the boy told me about life on the run from the death squads.
There are some good police, but there are also police in these death squads, and that you can't get rid of them because if you take away one boss, then another boss is going to rise up, and that's what's happening.
He claimed some of the death squads also run drugs.
They can kill you for any reason they like. They can kill you if you're running drugs or if you owe them money for drugs, for whatever reason.
As we left, the police told us of another killing. They showed us a photograph taken at the scene. This detective told me that it looks like a classic death squad murder. The victim is forced to kneel, then shot in the head. It was the third body they'd found in this position that week. Next day, we set out to find the relatives of the dead man from the photograph.
We've come to this part of town, to what we're told is quite a notorious housing estate, to try and talk to the family of the man who was quite clearly executed.
Even compared to other slums we'd seen, the poverty here was striking. We came to the house of the dead man's mother. Albertina said she didn't know why her son was killed.
está aqui agora.
She says the people who killed him are evil, and while they might be able to trick other humans, God will know who's done this.
So far, she said, the police had not come to ask her anything about her son, and she didn't expect there to be an investigation into his murder.
She says, all I want to do now is, once my son's been buried today, and I'll leave. There's nothing for me here anymore now my son is dead.
It's very difficult losing a son, she said. But Albertina still has a harrowing task ahead. She's yet to tell her grandchildren that their father is dead. As we drive through the city centre of Recife, our driver points out a sign. He said it records the number of those killed per day, month and year.
Valmers is pointing out that on our left-hand side here is a counter which gives a running total, he says, of the number of people who have been murdered in this state and in this city. And so far, there have been five people, it says, killed today in Recife in the state, and there's 1,033 who have been killed so far this year.
Eduardo Machado leads the group behind the sign. PE Body Count campaigns for more government action to curb the killings in Recife. He claimed the death squads operated with impunity.
It's a perverse type of violence. I call it social cleansing because the people being killed are normally black, they're poor, and they're from the outskirts of the city, and they've become the killables.
He said some police take the law into their own hands because they feel that official justice is not working.
The system is just overloaded. People don't have access to justice. There's not enough judges, not enough attorneys. And what happens is even if a case does go to trial, it can take 10 years.
We were invited along on a police raid on one of the many slums in the city that has been flooded with crack cocaine. The police wanted to show us that they were tackling the high crime rate and not just leaving it to the death squads.
The police told us this has taken 6 months of planning. It's a joint operation between the civil and the military police. And it's going into a central part of the city where there's a lot of drug trafficking and also a very high homicide rate.
Police officers told us they had more than a dozen arrest warrants. Many for crack dealers who'd sparked the latest crime wave.
So they found nothing in that house, but the police have spread out in various groups across the favela in this operation.
I was told one of the suspects had been found. But the search for drugs seemed fruitless.
So far, for such an extensive operation, we're not seeing a lot of drugs or weapons being turned up, especially considering how much homicides in this area.
Detective Joselito Amaral led the raid. He's the head of Recife's homicide unit. He told me they'd arrested eight men, only half their target. He claimed the way the judicial system works makes it impossible for the police to do their job properly.
The problem is, actually, the system here means that as soon as the police get a warrant for arrest, that warrant is given to a defence attorney, which means the people, the suspects, are waiting for the police to arrive. So it's hardly surprising, he says, that these people aren't necessarily here.
We return to where we'd met the street kids a few nights before. By day, it's a busy market.
Yeah, so this man says he's the representative for the entire stall area. He wants to talk to us about security.
Ricardo Maciel and his friends run the market. Ricardo told me the glue-sniffing street kids steal vendors' goods.
Ricardo's saying that because there's no police here, there's no police presence, and we've got this problem, we hire at least five guys every night and we ask them to basically pick them up, to intimidate them, to beat them up.
And he said many go much further.
It's very common for a shopkeeper to pay a death squad to go and kill somebody who is actually robbed from them. He says it's very common, happens a lot.
that night, there was another murder.
We've come to the beach, and along here are very swank-looking hotels and apartment blocks, but there's been another killing here.
Police told us the dead man was just 20. His grandmother said he was a good boy who'd studied hard. I asked her husband if he thought there could be any death squad involvement in his grandson's murder.
His grandfather says that, yes, I believe it was a death squad of some sort because they'd called him here specially and killed him. He was a good boy, everybody liked him, he worked hard, but he was mixing with some characters that we warned him against.
For the police, this is just one of several murders every night.
Do you have any idea, any leads on this?
He told us there'd been a theft.
Officer Leach is saying that a woman came to the police station complaining that her laptop and some other goods had been stolen. She said the guy who did it matches the description of the guy who was taken to hospital from this incident, and there's now one man dead on the beach.
He confirmed that some police do take the law into their own hands.
I can't give you a 100% guarantee, but often police officers and security guards are involved in these death squads and they're called in on jobs like this by their friends. And that looks very much like what's happened in this case. Okay, I'm very sorry.
The family told us they don't expect the killer ever to be brought to justice.
After some trying, we found a death squad member who's willing to talk to us. But as we're discovering, the drug gangs and the death squads all have lookouts all over the city. It'd be very dangerous for him to be seen talking to us anywhere. So we're going to take him outside of the city to talk to him.
We met the man at a prearranged rendezvous on the outskirts of a slum. As we drove out of town, he pointed out streets where he said he had killed.
He's saying if we went into this area, just to our right now, it's very dangerous. It's a well-known drug area. He's pulled his pistol out just in case, saying you've got to keep both eyes open. And he's saying if we went in there with our camera, we'd be lucky to come out with our lives.
He told me he'd been a police officer for 20 years and was still in the force. I asked him how many people he had killed. He said he'd killed many.
He's saying that I've killed more than 30 or 40 people myself, and my group has killed many more than 50 people over the years. And we usually take out rapists and drug dealers and this sort of thing. These are people who require us to perform a service to get rid of them. Why do some police officers take the law into their own hands and execute people?
A justiça, ela prende hoje e solta amanhã. Amanhã.
He said it's right to take a human life in this case because it takes so long for the legal processes here to go through, and the drug trafficker or the killer that we might catch could be released the next day, go back on the streets and can kill and traffic drugs again. So it's much better for us as a death squad to take out these guys, to get rid of these scumbag crooks and just to kill them and solve the problem like that.
But he admitted they don't just kill to enforce the law. It's also a lucrative business.
The price to have somebody killed through him would actually depend on the type of person you want to have killed. It depends if it's a journalist or a politician or somebody who's just damaging somebody's business. It depends on how powerful that person is. Do you feel regret or remorse?
He said he felt no remorse because this is the right thing to do.
The government and the police say that they're closing in and shutting down death squads like yours. Is that true?
He said there is more pressure, but they don't fear arrest because many of their senior officers are involved.
In the police, it works like this. The senior police officers will call us in. They'll be at a colonel or delegado or detective level. They'll call us in for a meeting. They'll say, there's a guy we want you to take care of, to kill. We want it done by Friday. We go and do the job. So a lot of police are involved.
Back at police headquarters, a group of suspected criminals was being paraded in front of the press. Police said it was to encourage witnesses to their crimes to come forward with information. Criminals like these are some of those targeted by the death squads when the justice system doesn't seem to work. Detective Morales told us the law requires these men to be released while their cases are processed.
And it'll be a vicious cycle. People will see them back out on the street. If they were going to be tried while they're in jail, it might be quicker, but if they're going to be free, which the system demands, then there will be no deadline. It could take years.
Also at the press conference was Servilio Silva de Paiva, the state's security secretary. He said new government efforts have reduced the murder rate by 2%.
We've heard that some senior police officers are still ordering their subordinates to go out and kill criminals because they don't believe the justice system will work.
He said the government had arrested 400 suspects in a new campaign against the death squads. Officers were still ordering their men to kill criminals, but they were expelled from the force if the state finds out who they are.
Given the fact that there are still police officers in death squads, how much responsibility does the state take for the murders in this state?
He admitted limited responsibility.
You're
saying if the officer is working as a police officer on duty at the time and he kills somebody, all our responsibility rests with us and me. If he's off duty, it's not our responsibility.
The next day in the city centre, we encountered a church demonstration calling for action against the high murder rate.
This is a banner saying that there's been 1,174 people murdered in this state in the first 3 months of this year. They're saying this is the highest murder rate in Brazil.
A white handkerchief symbolised each death in the first 3 months of this year. But even this peaceful protest was not felt to be beyond the reach of the death squads.
One of the church officials came up to me just at the end there and said, we operate in a fake democracy where these police officers are operating with impunity. And he said, I don't want to be identified saying that because my life would seriously be in danger.
That night, we were yet again called to an all too familiar scene. A body was lying in a school playground. As usual, a crowd of casual onlookers had gathered.
He was here playing football when somebody came up and shot him. The police aren't sure how many shots were used.
The police said the boy, William, was a drug user who'd been in juvenile prison and was probably involved in gang activity.
But it just shows the extraordinary level of violence here. This is in a secondary school playing yard, and people are just sort of sitting around as if this is happening every day.
Poverty and drugs are the root causes of crime here. But the perception that Brazil's justice system doesn't work has led to the widespread acceptance of a brutal alternative. Until that changes, the death squads will continue to kill with impunity.